This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Adam Egoyan says his new film, Exotica, is about not trusting appearances. The film is set in a Toronto strip club called Exotica. But the motivations of the people who work there and the clientele are never what you expect. Village Voice film critic Jay Hoberman describes Exotica as a disturbing and ultimately heartbreaking erotic reverie. In a New York Times review, Karen James says, despite its lurid-sounding subject, Exotica turns out to be less erotic than eerie. It raises moral questions of guilt and responsibility. Exotica won the International Critics Prize at the Cannes Film Festival. Several of Egoyan's earlier films, such as The Adjuster and Speaking Parts, also won International Film Festival awards. Here's a scene from Exotica, featuring Elias Koteas as the club's MC. He takes the mic to stimulate the clientele's fantasies and to convince the men to pay the $5 that it takes to bring one of the naked dancers to your personal table.
Let's bring those big hairy pops together, gentlemen. Give it up. Yeah, gentlemen, yes. Have a nice big round of applause for Linda. Yeah. Yes, indeed, Linda. And just to remind you that there's nothing Linda would love more than to slink over to your table and give you your own private show for only $5. That's right. $5 is all it takes to have one of our beautiful foxes come over to your table and get you all hot and bothered. But hey, why be bothered when you're being treated like a king? You've had a rough day. Don't you think you owe it to yourselves to do something that will make you feel like you're someone special? You are someone special. $5 is all it takes to prove it.
Now, a lot of the film is set in a strip club called Exotica.
Right.
And a club like that might symbolize just, you know, perversity for many people. But it's really, in some ways, the safest place in the film because there are rules that have to be followed.
Right.
Like the clientele can't touch the strippers. What made you think about a sex club as possibly one of the safer places?
I think that all the characters are in a strange situation where their own sexuality has come to represent something other than what it should be. It has almost transformed itself into an odd expression of their psychological need beyond the physical. So the club, which is a celebration of all things physical, has this very strict rule of not touching. So there's a paradox there, and I found that tension to be really fascinating. It's something that really has compelled me for a long time. I mean, why would someone go to a club with the idea of achieving some sort of intimacy, but knowing that the very grounds for an intimate contact, which is some sort of touch, is denied them? That was really a very fascinating situation to explore. And I think there's something very comfortable or comforting, ultimately, about being in a place which deals with so many things which are mysterious to us and so taboo, such as our sexual desire, but also has very, very strict rules, so that you know what the parameters are, you know how far you can go. And I think that that is really what the attraction of these clubs is all about.
In this club, for $5, one of the dancers will come to your table and dance just for you.
Right.
And this is a really interesting public-private thing. It should be a really private experience, right? Somebody arousing you just inches away from you. On the other hand, it's a really public setting, and everybody is watching you being aroused by the dancer.
Well, there's something very tribal about it, ultimately, and I think that's one of the attractions of these clubs as well, that you are. It's the closest thing we have in our society, perhaps, to a bacchanal, you know, this idea that sexual pleasure and activity is a collective experience. We just don't really have any outlets for that. And I think that societies throughout history have always had some sort of event where there was a public expression of sensual pleasure. And a strip club is probably the only thing that we have that comes close to that. And it's also very territorial, obviously. obviously, because when you hire someone to come to your table and dance for you, you are also making it known to the other people in that club that you have actually purchased the right to have that person for that period of time. So you're playing out something else as well. I mean, you're playing out your attraction to that particular dancer, but I think as important, you're playing out the fantasy that you have some territorial right to own that person. So there's something darker as well there. And I think that there's so many contradictions in a club like that, that it's irresistible for a dramatist to explore that.
Did you go to clubs like Exotica?
Oh, sure. I mean, it's a real phenomenon up here. And I think there are some cities in the States as well where people will actually go to those places knowing that you know, those clubs are popular.
What was your mood when you visited the clubs? Did you find the clubs, you know, kind of exciting in their own way, or depressing? Because there can be something really depressing about watching people dance for money like that, and watching the people who maybe their only way of getting sexually aroused is to come to a club and pay.
Yeah, you can't generalize. I think that you have to really understand that there are a wealth of experiences that bring people either to watch dancers in that club or to actually allow a person to feel comfortable about dancing in the club. I met so many different people, and they all had different reasons as to why they were there. Some of them were really proud and quite excited to be dancing in the clubs because it allowed them to do something that they felt they were good at and to earn a lot of money. Other people you really felt were there for reasons outside of their own control. So you can't generalize. I think by the same token, you can't really generalize about the type of people who go to those clubs. I mean, there are people who are there because, as you said, it is their only outlet, their only way of having access to a naked body. But there are also people who are there for very casual reasons. I mean, they just like the environment of those places. They feel like they're in the middle of a party that doesn't end, and they feel some sort of sense of sanctuary in the anonymity of being a viewer in those places. So there's so many different reasons, and I think that one of the real challenges in making Exotica was not to moralize about, you know, why people are there, but to present it as an environment, to present it as a workplace with all the contradictions and all of the complexities of any workspace.
There's an MC at the club in your movie who's played by Elias Koteas.
Right.
And he raps to the men at the club about how arousing it would be to pay the $5 and to bring one of the dancers over to your table. I really like this performance a lot. And the actor really reminded me of two actors in Taxi Driver, both Harvey Keitel and Robert De Niro.
That's very interesting you should say that, because everyone always talks about how Elias reminds him of De Niro, but I really think that the energy of that particular character was inspired by the Keitel character.
The character of sport,
yes,
yeah.
That's right, sport, you know. And, I mean, it's a funny role, because what he's actually doing with his job, where he's trying to whip up some sort of excitement around the dancers and to get people to pay to bring them over to their tables, what he's actually saying is so funny, if you know anything about those clubs, because it would just make anyone squirm. I mean, he's so... he deconstructs what the nature of these men's attraction to the dancers is, and that's the last thing that job really allows for. I mean, I think that the whole point of that job is to create this effortless sense of transition between having a dancer on stage and imagining what it would take to invite them to your table. But, you know, he actually makes that really a very tortured process, and it's quite funny.
My guest is Adam Egoyan, the writer, director, and producer of the new film Exotica. Back after a break. This is Fresh Air. The secrets that are revealed in your films sometimes have to do with sex, or with voyeurism, with pornography. Is that because, well, it's a good dramatic device, or does it go deeper than that?
Well, I'm fascinated by sex. I'm fascinated by my own sexual impulses. I'm fascinated by... what it is that makes me desire or dream of certain things. And I think most people are. I mean, I think that sex is an aspect of our own personalities that we feel uncomfortable about talking about sometimes, but it's such a motivating, you know, factor. Even the suppression of sex, you know, I mean, to me, it's a currency that we trade with in most of our day-to-day transactions. And
here's a question that you might not feel comfortable answering, but do you ever, for instance, like rent pornography at a video store? And if so, do you feel really uncomfortable about it and try to, you know, pretend like it's, you know, Forrest Gump or something that you're really renting?
I'm not embarrassed about, you know, my fascination with pornography, because I think that anyone from my generation, you know, was exposed or had their own sexualities revealed through the benefit of pornography. And in some ways, it's almost strange that I can have a nostalgic relationship with, you know, Miss Penthouse 1973, because somehow that image is so ingrained into my subconscious, you know, that, I mean, it's part of our experience in this society. And that's why I get really angry when people have very simplistic or moralistic views about, you know, the role or the effect of pornography on our makeup. You know, now I'm not suggesting that, you know, this is a completely healthy situation. I mean, I think that's why I make the films I do, because there are obvious problems when you surrender yourself so completely to images which are themselves manipulations and which you have no control over. And I think you do have to address at a certain level what it was that went into the making of those images. And there are certain parameters that I think the law has to guard. I mean, I do believe that there are people who are exploited in the making of those images, and that that process is really ugly. But we do live with those images. We are constituted by those images, and we have to understand our relationship to those images.
Well, that leads me to decisions you probably had to make while shooting the scenes in the club Exotica, which is how consciously arousing you wanted the dances to be.
Well, I wanted the dances and the environment to be seductive. I wanted the club to be a place that the viewer would want to go to. I wanted it to be full of images that you just barely saw, and that sense of peripheral recognition would somehow make it all the more exciting. That by not focusing on the nudity, but rather having it sort of always there, but in a sort of out of focus or peripheral way, it would create a greater sense of excitement. But at the same time, that was part of my overall project of showing where this character, the central character of Francis, was located, that he had found a relationship which was therapeutic for him for non-sexual reasons in the middle of a sex club. And what was the effect of that? And where did he find himself as a result of this particular project he had? So, you know, it's I was aware of, you know, of choosing and designing and creating this club with the effect, which is actually quite different from what most people feel when they go into a strip club, which is that these places, for the most part, are really depressing and uninteresting. But I wanted to create a club that was unlike that.
Adam Egoyan is my guest. We'll talk more in a minute. This is Fresh Air. Adam Egoyan is my guest, and he directed the new film Exotica. Let me ask you a little about your background. I know you are of Armenian heritage. You were born in Cairo, grew up in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
What got your parents to move from Cairo to Canada?
Well, I think at the time there was sort of an uprising in Arab nationalism, and a lot of the minorities were sort of frightened about their situation in Egypt, and so it was a time when a lot of Armenians did leave the country. This was in, 1962, mm-hmm. early 60s.
Can I ask your religious background?
Well, most Armenians are Orthodox Christian, and that was certainly my background, though my parents were not really practicing because we couldn't really. I was raised in a town where we were the only Armenian family, so there was no community or no church to speak of.
I was thinking of the idea of religious guilt, since so many of your themes have to do with sexuality.
I think that I had a pretty open view of sexuality because both my parents are painters, and I was very aware of them using sexuality in their own work and exploring sexuality in their own work, and also of having nude models, you know, I mean, around the house. And so I had a pretty open view of sexuality. I think one of the funnier experiences in my childhood was the fact that because my father did a lot of figure painting, he always had a lot of Playboy magazines around, and would use them as a cheap form of finding models. And my friends were always so fascinated by that. And I remember this one time, my friends, this is when I was about 10 years old, asked me to steal some of these magazines and bring them to this tree fort they had. And I remember it was very odd because these magazines were so commonplace in my house, but suddenly they were invested with this sense of taboo, mm-hmm. and this transformation of an object which was so ordinary into something which was mystified and the object of desire was something I very, very specifically remember going into his studio and taking these magazines and stealing them and then feeling incredibly guilty about that because I felt that I had somehow betrayed something in my relationship to my parents, which was a recognition of their artistry and the freedom of expression. I'd somehow taken something and made it into something which it wasn't. So maybe that was a formative experience for me.
Did your father find out?
Yes, he did, and he was just sort of bewildered about it. Like, why wouldn't I just asked him, or why wouldn't I have just borrowed them? But, you know, what happened was that one of the other parents had found out about this cache in this tree fort and was absolutely indignant that my parents would have that sort of material around the house. And anyway, I mean, it's an interesting story.
Have your parents seen your movies?
Oh, yes, of course, yeah.
I always figure it must be really comfortable to do anything artistically that has to do with sexuality and have your parents see it. But of course, if your parents were working with nudes all the time, then
yeah,
they're probably pretty comfortable around the subject matter.
Yes, I mean, it's I mean, I think sometimes they wonder what I'm up to, and they certainly you know, are, I think my father sometimes probably feels a bit threatened, but never in a way that we can't discuss, so that's good. What's more unusual sometimes is where there are certain things that have happened in their own lives, and they are looking for clues in the film which are not intended or which are not necessarily in you know, meant as indicators of something that happened to them, but they see that way, you know.
Well, that's really scary, isn't
yeah.
it? To have friends or family kind of interpreting your relationship with them through watching your movies.
Yeah. It is, but I think it's a matter of keeping it as open a dialogue about that as possible.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think the most dangerous thing in any sort of relationship is the unnecessary mystification of something, because it's something we're all very attracted to. I mean, we all want to mystify our own desire and our own sense of attraction, but that's also the moment at which we abstract our own emotions and we transform people into something that they're not. And that is something that I think we just have to keep a dialogue open.
Well, Adam Egoyan, I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you.
Adam Egoyan wrote, directed, and produced the new film Exotica. It's already playing in many cities and opens in 500 more cities tomorrow.